My top five podcasters, Chris Lambert, and probably myself, but this ain't about that. The Mundane Festival is where you're at. If you've been tapped in, you know what's up. If you're a first timer, hey, welcome to the club. The cost of admission is simply a subscription, then rating and reviewing it wherever you listen. Don't worry about change ups, the cast won't break up. Even when that $1 million contract show up, a stand up guy who's a stand up comedian with a stance on everything from food to media. So welcome to the show, please take your seat. Let's find out what he's got in store this week. Who, me? I'm Don Will, your opening act. Thanks for coming out. Please clap. The Mundane Festival. With your host, Chris Lambert.
Hey everybody, welcome back to another edition of the Mundane Festival podcast. I'm your host, Chris Lambert, recording this on Sunday, July 31st, 2022. Remember, as always, you can subscribe to the show on your favorite podcast listening apparatus. If you're really into this thing, go over to Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen. Give this show a 5-star review. Let everybody know why you like it, because it's simply the right thing to do. And if you want to take your love and appreciation of this show to an even deeper level, go over to patreon.com/mundanefestival. Subscribe. $3 a month for hours and hours and hours of bonus content. This is episode 590. There's no guest. It's just me sitting in my apartment on a Sunday morning, post-breakfast, post-watching some YouTube videos, and delivering you a high-quality podcast from a guy sitting in his apartment. I had a pretty good week. I had a pretty fun week. I got some new pants for work. They're kind of like these microfiber or something. The lady at the store told me that the people who golf wear those. So it's really comfortable. And I like them so far. I was just looking for some regular khakis just to wear to work, but I did wear a pair of them on Friday, and I did like them. So I think I will go back and get some more. And that is probably not necessarily the highlight of my week. I'd say the highlight of my week was going to the ENT to get some wax out of my ear, to get some wax taken out of my ear. Q-tips, guys, doctors have been saying this for years. Even though they feel good, they're not good for you. It's good for cleaning the outside of your ear, like a not in your canal, but it feels so good. But you only push the wax down. And I had this wax build up where I could not really hear anything. I could barely hear anything out of my left ear. And so the doctor cleaned it out. It's something I got to do. It's something that's happened to me about 5 or 6 times in my adult life. And where I tried to use like this wax removal stuff, which is actually pretty good, the doctor told me. But I looked it up online and found out about it. This thing called Debrox. It's just this liquid you put in your ear and you hold your head to the side, or you lay down on it and let it loosen up the wax, and you use like one of those syringes and suck it all. You know, you can irrigate your ear, but it did okay, but it didn't do. I had a lot of wax in my ear. And so I got that taken care of. And as soon as it happens, like they take it out, you feel like you have bionic hearing. And I think it just comes from normal wax buildup. And then I have my earbuds in. These Apple earbuds are pretty amazing. I'm becoming more and more of an Apple shill, or just not even a shill, but the products are good and they work well together. So it makes you want to get all of their products. Like I have an iPhone, a MacBook, and now these earbuds that I got in the fall, because they were on sale on Amazon. I think it was like Prime Day. It was some Christmas Black Friday thing I think I got. And now I've had an Apple TV unit, which I love because you can put your earbuds in and listen, and you don't have to be a loud, annoying neighbor to the other people in your building. And I don't think my stuff hasn't been too loud, but sometimes when you have the AC on blasting and you can listen to stuff, and it's really cool. What was I watching? I bought Men on the latest Alex Garland movie on digital from iTunes. Fucking lemming. And it sounds really good. Like it's a working man's version. I won't say poor man. I'm a working man. It's a working man's version of like having like surround sound. And it was pretty cool, especially after I got my ears cleaned out. And I think so this is what you should do if you want to save yourself some money. You get an Apple TV unit. And I think it's cheap now, because I got it for like 120 something, 130. You get yourself some earbuds and you can listen to movies and all your stuff and like surround sound. It's not surround sound, but it sounds pretty cool. I was impressed. I think that was the first thing, because the most other things that I've listened to really have just been normal movies and YouTube clips. Is what I mainly watch, and then just regular TV shows. But I don't know if Men had any. I don't know if that movie had any like Dolby, some kind of Dolby shit that they, you know, that they say that they have on the things. I don't know, but it sounded really good. It almost makes me want to go back and listen to Tenet and watch Tenet. I want to revisit that movie anyway. I didn't think it was as bad as everybody said it was. It was just fine. It's just not Nolan's best, but it's fine. You know what I mean? You know, it's like the action. And I did have to look at thousands of YouTube videos to have some kind of understanding what he was talking about. You know, and people did trash Tenet. I don't know if they're going that hard on Nope. I see a couple of comedians saying stuff about it, but most of my timeline is comedians, so it's just like they're gonna say their smart shit. And I don't even say if I really like a movie anymore on Twitter. I just become slightly disengaged on social media. Every now and then I'll throw something out and I'll be like, listen to my podcast, or I'll try to throw out a little quip or something, but it's just not my jam. I don't know if it's my jam anymore, you guys, but I would say try that. I mean, I don't have any sponsorship, but I know that I did enjoy watching Men. I'd seen it in the theaters, and I did like it. It is, and I think I talked about this when it came out a couple of months, 3 or 4 months ago, where it's weird, but I just love how he put that movie together. And it's a guy basically saying, hey, dudes, we ain't shit, you know. But I love my girl, Jesse Buckley. I think she looked great in it. Just like, oh, she's a star. And yeah, it's an interesting concept. I'd say, like, I don't know if Veronica and I, maybe we touched on this a little bit last week when we were talking about Jordan Peele, but it's one of those like modern era directors where it's like, I really like this person. I really like this person's work. So I'm going to give it a shot, and I'm going to be inclined to like it and then just be interested in what he's trying to say, he or she, what this person's trying to say. And, you know, maybe I give them a little leeway, but if it's something that's striking to me, I'll latch onto it more. Maybe more than I would anybody else, but I don't think that's true. Modern era directors that take these big swings that are relatively new. I mean, Alex Garland has written a lot. I didn't know I was going to go on this Alex Garland tangent, but I did like Devs. I would have to revisit that to really... That was a TV show, but when we're talking movies, He's done Ex Machina, Annihilation, and Men. So there's only three. Now, he's directed, it looks like he directed all the episodes, all the eight episodes of Devs. But, yeah, it's just one of those dudes that's like, after I saw Ex Machina and I realized that he wrote Sunshine. What did he write that I liked? 28 Days Later was good. The Beach, I Need to Go. He wrote that novel, and I need to revisit The Beach. I'll probably try to buy that on digital if it's not playing, if it's not streaming anywhere. But I liked Annihilation. Annihilation kind of got a little weird towards the end, but it was still an interesting movie. I still liked it. I would say Ex Machina is his best out of the three that I've seen. Yeah, where would I rank that? Annihilation's a little more robust than both the movies. I don't know. It's hard. He's only got three. That's like, you know, when Shalewa and I did the St. Vincent albums, we could play with a little more because we had like, I think, five or six records from albums from Annie Clark. But these three, I think Ex Machina, that was almost like a play. Men, in a lot of ways, is kind of like a play too. Annihilation stands apart from those two because it's a little more adventurous with regards to set pieces and just, this is me just thinking off, talking off the top of my head. It's a little more robust. There's a lot more stuff going on, a lot more bells and whistles, but at the same time, it's still an intimate flick. And both have kind of dealing with guys that are, a little weird. Well, all the movies have guys that are kind of fucked up. Yeah. So he's doing something that's pretty interesting when you think about those three together. That's just me not doing an essay, just talking off the top of my head, just thinking about those movies. I definitely want to go back and revisit those. I bought all of those movies, so I do like him. He's one of my favorites. And Jordan Peele's becoming that too. It's all like I thought Get Out was great, but it didn't. I don't feel like I was sucker punched by it, but I just thought like, oh, this is good. Because I remember, I think the day that I saw that, it was like a day. I think it was a day that I had taken off. I think I had an audition or something. And I took that day. I was like, I'm seeing Get Out. Like, I knew I was excited to see it. And I was from the mind of Jordan Peele. I was like, oh, funny guy. And I was like, okay. And I saw it. I was like, oh, it was really, really good. And I was laughing. I was like, oh, shit, that's dope. And then it got all the press and the hullabaloo. And people were mad. People were arguing about it. And it was this and it was that. And it was a really great film. And I was happy for the success. And I was like, okay. But it seemed to me like Us was a little... was different, and I think people were looking, because I think there's social stuff in that also, and I think no, and it was, to me, us was to, you know what it is, and I said this with Veronica, I think that Get Out will always be his Illmatic, and everybody's going to always compare it to compare everything he does to that. And that's going to be, I don't know if that's a tough road to hoe, because I think Jordan Peele's fine. And I think when he's not really, maybe later on down the line, he'll talk more about Nope and the themes and everything. But I remember really listening to his press tour, listening to podcasts, watching interviews. He was just like, yeah, you know, with Get Out, like I was talking about it because I wanted people to see it. You know, I wanted people to see my movie. And now he's a little more secretive, which is kind of cool. Maybe he'll come out later down the line and talk about it. But Us, I think, was just anchored by that terrific performance. Everybody was good in it, but Lupita's performance, it was anchored by that terrific performance. And it was really interesting. And people were just trying to dig out meaning for every little thing. And sometimes I don't mind that, because I like looking at, especially for stuff that I like. I like going to YouTube and looking at and trying to understand the themes, because that was the movie. Actually, I saw Us twice in the theaters also. Get Out, I only watched once, because that was pretty straightforward. And I said that it reminded me of Disturbing Behavior, I think, when Veronica and I were talking. Anyway, Us I did go see twice. I did pick up on other things. And my experience was kind of seeing Nope. I just didn't. It wasn't the best experience, because the movie started, didn't start on time. And I think that theater, although I liked it, the coziness and the nostalgia of being in a mall, like a once mighty mall of like it probably had its heyday in the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. And it was in a theater, and it was an IMAX. And I believe that, excuse me, I would believe that place, you know, they renovated their seats and everything. But that didn't feel like an IMAX theater. I did enjoy the movie. I thought it was compelling. Like I raved over it, with Veronica. And then I went to see it again on Wednesday in IMAX at the Garden State Plaza. And that was IMAX with laser. And I think that is a comparable IMAX theater. Cause I think the last time I did mention this was that I'd seen an IMAX movie was, The Eternals, and that was in Manhattan. That was at AMC Empire 25. And this one in the mall was really cool. It was cool, especially because there were like five or six people, myself included, in the theater. I fucking loved it. And I think I loved the movie even more on second viewing, because I was able to pick out certain things, grab certain things that I didn't get before, and just kind of appreciate the structure. The pacing was a little better on the second. I think if the pacing was better on the second viewing, I was just like, okay, I'm seeing where this is going. I'm seeing how this is pieced together. This moment here is X, and this is telling me, this is prepping me for this. This title card is okay. Things are kind of, I guess, what do you say? Coalescing. Things are coming together. So I really liked it a lot more. And now I'm kind of like, man, I want to see more shit in IMAX now. But it's so convenient to go across the highway, take maybe a 5-minute drive and get over to the nice theater in the Hackensack Theater and see the new stuff. I think I'm gonna try to see Bullet Train, like an early screening of Bullet Train on Tuesday, the new Brad Pitt movie with Brian Tyree Henry in it and a bunch of other people. That looks pretty fun. It looks like it's gonna be fun. So I'm kind of excited to see that. That's also playing in IMAX. If I like it, I might try to go. I might try to see it again and see it in IMAX. Just for shits and giggles. Because, I mean, the Garden State Plaza is not that far, but I just don't like all that congestion. You can get in and get out, all the traffic. But if I like it, maybe I'll go during the week and see it. Then also the new Joe Coy movie, Easter Sunday, is coming out. So I'm excited to see that, too. Just see another a comedian hit doing a movie. I don't know Joe Coy, but I think Brandon Wardell is in that. He plays his son. Brandon Wardell was a local Maryland, D.C. area, Virginia comic, a young guy. And he moved to L.A. a few years back, and he's in that movie. So it'd be kind of cool to see that. I think he was starting around the time I was starting, but he was like, I think he was still in high school, so he seems to be doing well. And I want to see that movie because it looks like it's going to be good. So that's surprisingly which is a relatively small movie. It's called Easter Sunday, if I didn't say that, mention that. I'm into seeing that. So that's going to be playing this week also. So, and then I also want to see the what is it? The Resurrection movie with Rebecca Hall. And that's not playing in AMC yet. It was probably playing in the, not even playing in the city. It's playing in the city, but not at an AMC. And you know, I got my AMC Stubbs membership, so I try to keep it in house unless I can go to an art house theater and see it. And I may end up doing that. So we'll see. Plenty of good movies to watch. Plenty of stuff that's streaming. It's so much content. It's overwhelming, but it's also kind of fun when you can chip away at stuff. There's other stuff. I'm randomly just talking my ass off, which is good for you if you're a listener to the podcast and I'm not really talking about anything. So that's good. I did want to read an email that I got from Jared. So let's read this. It's titled Great Episode with Dr. Veronica Paredes. Hi, Chris. I've been a fan of the pod for at least 7 or 8 years. You introduced me to The Black Guy Who Tips, Three Guys On, etc. Anyway, I just wanted to give you some props and say I really enjoyed your episode about Nope with Dr. Veronica Paredes. I also enjoy when she's on, even if I haven't seen the movie you're focusing on, but it's even better when I get to hear both of your takes on a movie that I watched and enjoyed. It always broadens my horizons and focuses me in on different aspects of a film or TV show. Keep it up, Jared. Well, Jared, thank you so much. I appreciate you for listening, and hope to keep making stuff that you enjoy, good sir. You can email the show, too, if you'd like. It's at mundanefestivalpod@gmail.com. So thanks, Jared. I really appreciate it. Yeah, I really enjoy talking to Veronica about these films, and I'm glad that she reached out. And I think maybe a little over a year ago, and we talked about, maybe not even a year ago, whenever it was, we talked about 9 days, and we had a great conversation, and I keep bugging her to come on, so that'll be good. So hopefully she'll come back on again soon. I didn't get to talk much about last week. Last week was fun. I got to do this show in Red Bank, New Jersey, King of the Craft Barbershop. And that's why I was down in Central. I guess you call that Central Jersey, but you can still call that the shore. That's what they were telling me. So I was on the shore, and it's beautiful down there. I love it. It's really beautiful, especially in the summertime. Red Bank is just like another world in a way, where it's just like, I always say this, and shout out to my man, Justin Williams. I got to work with him, and Ken Krantz put on the show. And I think they're going to make that a monthly down there. And we're just talking about how Jersey's so underrated. People just, they don't know what they're missing, and fuck it. If they want to talk shit, then they're just missing out on all the cool stuff that Jersey has to offer. You can always go into the city and do cool stuff, but it's fun when you can just do it in Jersey too. So, so that show was fun. It was like cool to do something that's almost like something people do. People have those shows like that in Brooklyn or in Harlem. I saw where somebody uptown had a show in a barbershop, and the barbershop closed, and they had brought some chairs out, and some of the people, the barbers, were there. Had a good time. It was a really good time. And then we went to a bar and got something to eat after. It was fun. It was a good time. Good times. Thankfully that show was on a Thursday where I didn't have to go, where I could work from home the next day, but I got a bunch of work done the next day, but I didn't have to get up early and drive, because that was a long night, a long day and a long night, and I didn't have to drive anywhere the next day. So that was good. So that was fun. And Red Bank is super nice. I was trying to wait for I was looking for parking because it was kind of popping on a Thursday night. People were out walking. It's good to see people out now after people not being able to go out for a year and a half, 2 years, and just see people out on the town and stuff. But I was trying to get into a parking spot that I had to wait for this guy who had this like BMW convertible, and he had to go through all the pomp and circumstance of his convertible going up and shit. Oh, you know, going, actually, did it retract or was it going? Yeah, it was going. He had to, it was, convertible was going down so he could have his, the top, he had the top down. So I had to wait for that and get his spot. Yeah, I guess I've been to Red Bank for a show. I went to see a play down there, and I think I went with a buddy to go watch him do a set down there before. It's nice down there. It's kind of on the way to, you pass all that when you're going to Atlantic City. Yeah, so it's probably like maybe 100 miles or so from, and I don't know. It's, yeah, but it's nice. It's a nice time. I had fun. What else? So shout out to Ken Krantz, who's John Moses, who's also a friend of the pod, both friends of the pod, that's their monthly show. I don't know how long this is going to be. I had an audition. Did I talk about that? I had an audition on Friday on Zoom with producers and stuff. That was pretty neat. Fingers crossed. Would be nice to get. I had to take a half day to do it. But it was good. They're like, that was great, Chris. Can you do it one more time this way? And blah, blah, blah. I was like, sure. Okay. Give me the fucking part. Give me the part. So we'll see what happens. I'm not sweating it, because there's always going to be more auditions. Will Smith apologized to everybody via social media, via his Instagram. He apologized. It's like a 5-minute apology. He apologized to Chris again. He apologized to Chris's family, especially Tony Rock and Chris's mother, because him and Tony Rock were good friends. Tony did his show, the show that was based on Will and Jada's life and his ex-wife's life, that was on UPN. And I think it was sincere. I think it was one of the best apologies I've heard in a long time for somebody that fucked up. I felt that it was genuine, because he used language that I think I would have used if I had done something like that. It's like, yeah, I'm trying not to feel like a piece of shit about it. And I was like, oh shit, wow, okay. Man, I think he's sincere. It was just a really, you know, we'll talk about this Black Panther thing trailer, but like, people were talking about crying over that and being emotional and being kind of wrecked about it. But some of those same people couldn't understand why people were upset about Will slapping Chris. I mean, I've talked about it before. I talked about it when it happened, you know. It happened about 3 or 4 months ago, but it's still palpable. It's still, those are two icons. In my book, at least, I'm man enough to admit that I grew up watching those dudes. I love my dad, the late, great Aubrey Lamberth. He was definitely my hero. But, you know, you see those dudes, those images on screen with Chris Rock's stand-up, like Bring the Pain, is arguably one of the best comedy specials ever made in the modern era. It's, you know, it's got everything. Will Smith's career is, you know, he's had an amazing rap career, acting career, and he's always been like a model of excellence. And for him to just break like that and do that to Chris, it's sad. And you feel for him. Like, not only do I feel for Chris, I feel for him. I know he feels bad about that, because I could just put myself, it's like what Dave Chappelle said, even though he's been controversial, and he said on that Hollywood Bowl set that he did, he said he can see himself in both of those guys. And I can see, even though I'm not as famous as, I'm not famous like those guys, I still see myself in them. And it's a, And it's an upsetting thing that when you see something like that, and both those guys have to live with that forever. But I also think, you know, maybe people are going to be trying to come at Chris for, I was talking about that with friends in a text thread. Maybe people are going to start to come at Chris. You better accept his apology. But I think what I really can't wait to see is that stand up set. I saw him in April, a week after the incident, and he was great. Like, he did out close to 2 hours and destroyed. And to me, it's already better than Tambourine. And he's gonna whittle it down, and I'm sure he's gonna talk about the slap on the special. When he talks about it, I just want to see this masterful comedian talk about that incident and really make it into something, make it into art, basically. So yeah, I'm super excited to see that. That's gonna be that heat, and it's gonna be attached to an hour of great comedy also, you know. So I'd like to hear how that goes when he puts that in his act. So yeah, but I think Will was being honest. And sometimes people say, oh, you're an actor, he's probably just rehearsed that and da da da. He put the blame on himself. He's like, Jada didn't tell me to do anything, that was me, it was my fault, sorry to my family. He really put himself out there, and yeah, I think he meant it. If just from what I heard, I only watched it one time, you know, and I don't know how many people put themselves in situations like that, you know. If you know, people that judge, you know, people that want to judge people. He did it. It was wrong, and I think he wants to get back on the path of trying to be a better person, you know. So we'll see what happens, and the movies will come out, and he'll still get work again, and he'll still be making money, and every, you know, it is what it is. Black Panther Wakanda Forever trailer. A lot of people were crying about that. They were excited to, I'm excited. I did not cry. That doesn't mean that when I see it in the theater, doesn't mean that I'm not going to, you know what I mean? When I see it in the theater, that could be another difference. You know, I'll tell you, if I see something or something happens and I get emotional, I will tell you. I do not have a problem with, I'm man enough to say that, I'm man enough to tell you when I cry. If something moves me, I will. I've cried on the podcast before, so. But yeah, what I did know, because I watched it, like, and I was like, oh, nice. I was like, oh, great. The trailer, and I, you know, forwarded it to my friends and stuff like that in text chains. And yeah, I was just really excited to see it. And the buzz is kind of like, who's going to be the new Black Panther? I mean, just based on the limited knowledge I have, I think it's gonna be Shuri, but then at the same time, you know, you had Letitia Wright was like on some anti-vax weird shit a couple years ago, like during the pandemic, and when they were trying to, you know, come back, and she was being weird about that. But I think it could be either her or Nakia. Like, Lupita might take it up. I don't know, because they can kind of do whatever they want in the MCU. Just based on the comics, it's been Shuri, but you never know what's gonna happen, and you never know how they cut the trailer where there could be a scene that's not even in the movie. So we don't know. You can just be excited about it when they put the tickets on sale, then you know you just get your ticket and show up. That's all they got to tell me, is like when it's going to open, and that's it. And I'll probably see it twice, you know, I'll see it a couple times before it gets released, and then I'll buy it on digital or Blu-ray or whatever. So I just kind of took it like that. Just was like, oh yeah, oh shit, you know. And and that's it. You know, I went on about my business. I even watched a couple of like I watched Heavy Spoilers. I watched New Rock Stars break it down. This is gonna be this, and Namor is this guy, and blah blah blah, and you know, just being excited looking at the, you know, breakdowns. And then, like, a few days later, because the trailer only came out, like, a week ago. And now it's like people are saying recast T'Challa. They should have recast him. And I think they did the right thing. It doesn't mean, like, anybody can be replaced. And the way that it seems like they're handling it, they're showing, They're showing respect for Chadwick Boseman, who embodied all those good qualities of T'Challa. Now, I didn't know too much about Black Panther. I knew about him when I was a kid. I was like, oh, okay, he's a superhero. Didn't know much about him. I was kind of into DC. Like, I had, like, Superman, Batman, Aquaman action figures. I had some Spider-Man, Incredible Hulk figures and stuff like that. But it was that Black Panther when they announced Chadwick Boseman as being Black Panther. When I saw him in Civil War, I was like, oh shit, this is sick. He's so fucking cool. And that got me excited. And then that got me into buying these black action figures, being aware of these black action figures. I remember that Black Panther figure was hard to find. And then just getting that old, if you do a deep dive, it might even be on my stories, on my Instagram, but there was one night where I did a gig. It was, I think it might've been 28. It might've been top of 2019 or 2018 when I did this gig in it wasn't really upstate New York. It was like Newburgh. And it was like 60 miles. It was in Newburgh, New York. And I did this gig, and I went to this Walmart kind of like in the middle of nowhere next to a tractor store. And I was just walking through getting some stuff, and I found like the whole Black Panther wave and bought all of them. And you build a figure. The build a figure was M'Baku, which I haven't put together yet. I just need more. I had to clean up and make more space and do that. But like, anyway, that got me back into like toy collecting. And specifically, I would go with the black action figures like Miles Morales. And, you know, I already got the Ironheart. Like, I'm more excited about Ironheart because they're going to do the TV series. That's kind of one of the, you know, you want to, and they pay homage. They put the mural of T'Challa on there, of Chadwick there. And man, he was so right for that character, like this stoic, resolute, seemed like a very good guy. Excuse me. Seems just like a beautiful human being, and nobody really had a bad word to say about him. And, it was really sad, and he was fighting that and for years fighting cancer and turning in these magnificent performances, you know, and then topping it off with Ma Rainey's Black Bottom, you know. So they're paying respect to him. And the best thing, I didn't know, like, dudes were mad about this. Like, I thought everybody was, and this is where you probably think, oh, could this be like Russian bots? Could this be just like bots in general? Like, this, could this just be some bullshit where these dudes are complaining about stuff, about they should recast T'Challa? I really liked what Aaron Rand Freeman said on Facebook a couple of days ago. I'm just going to read it. Aaron Rand Freeman, he's a Facebook friend of mine, but I think he used to work with This Week in Blackness with Elon James White. And I found out about him through that. And I know he plays video games and stuff, but we've just been friends on Facebook for a few years. And I just want to read what he said. This is what he said a couple of days ago. I think he said this on Friday. So I'm recording this on the 31st, he would have said this. On the 29th, okay, anyway, this is what he says. Must feel weird to some that Black Panther 2 is such a direct act of kindness. The actor passed, so the character is gone in the fiction. The audience gets to grieve right alongside the characters and the actors that knew Bozeman. His passing derailed Phase 4 clearly, and instead of bullying through Phase 4 is about Chadwick Bozeman. None of the movies have the usual heft in service of Black Panther being as good and respectful as possible. A multi-billion dollar company has slowed down the machine to give us a moment to grieve in real time. One of the most unique film experiences we'll ever have. I'm aware it's still corporate representation for better or worse, but Phase 4 of the Marvel Cinematic Universe is essentially about the passing of the actor, and that is wild to dwell on. Imagine using the space provided to attack Black women. We are the weakest link for real. And I guess he's referring to the fact that Black dudes are mad that the new Black Panther is going to be a woman. When if you're a real nerd about this shit, even I know that Shuri takes over when the Black Panther, when T'Challa couldn't do it or something happened to him. I don't know. But I knew that in the history, Shuri becomes Black Panther for a time. I don't know why people are mad. It's just really weird. But what he said, you know, this big corporate entity like Disney and Marvel, they could have said, okay, we're casting, I don't know. I don't know that we could cast Donald Glover. They wouldn't do that, but he's already in the MCU. Some Black guy and people would be mad at that. You know, he's not Chad. So eventually they might, but for Phase 4 and that, universe, that Black Panther's gone. And for them to that just shows you how respected Chadwick Boseman was as a person. Where he dies, and they're like, okay, the character's dead too. Any other time, like you can easily be replaced. In show business, your ass can get replaced. That's like what happened on Breaking Bad. Don Harvey, who played this guy, Jeff, the cab guy, in a couple seasons ago in Better Call Saul, he was contractually obligated, I believe, for We Own This City with HBO. And when it came time for him to finish out the series of Better Call Saul, he couldn't do it. So they got this guy, Pat Healy, who's playing Jeff, and he did a great job. You know, it's two different looks. Like the Don Harvey looks like he's more of a menacing character. Just look at just face wise, he's more menacing. But this guy Pat Healy did it, and come to find out, he's auditioned a bunch of times for the show, for different roles, at least a couple of times for different roles, and they called him back. They called him in to do this role, and spoiler alert, he's listed on IMDb as being in the next episode. So I don't think, like, shifting gears to Better Call, we'll shift gears a little bit, but like, you can be replaced. That's an example of like, nothing is precious. You can be, somebody posted up a tweet about, working in corporate America, you die. They're going to be looking for your replacement. You die or you leave. And that's why sometimes you if you have to do certain things, you have life events that you have to take care of, you make sure you do it and don't miss out just because you have to work. You try to do what you can. Everybody tries as hard as they can to do stuff, you know. But yeah, that's really weird. But that is, I think, a very small minority of people that are complaining, because people are going to complain no matter what. You can't please everybody. And I just thought it's a beautiful trailer. That's just, it's not even a full trailer. It's a teaser. So you don't know what's going to happen. You know, Wakanda's in turmoil. The king is dead. They got to look for new leadership. And Namor is going to fuck Wakanda up. And they got to come together and get it back. And you know that they will. And it will be because of black women. And it is what it is, man. And I think that movie's going to make so much money. It's going to make tons of money. All these people, all these nerds, all these racists or whatever, all these incels, you're going to spend your money. I think it's just something to talk about. It's all just fodder leading up to the event that the whole world is going to be watching. Well, maybe not the whole world, but the whole country. America is going to be, that's all people are going to be talking about. People are going to be going to that movie. They say this all the time. It happens with, like, it's happening right now with this Last of Us remake, where this gameplay got leaked for the remake, and it just, a lot of people, myself included, I expected, okay, you're gonna do this remake of a game that hasn't even been out 10 years. You had some flashbacks in The Last of Us Part 2 where you're going to make the characters look amazing, cuz you got this PS4 Pro, you got the PlayStation 4, and now you got a PlayStation 5 with a hot, better engine. The graphics are going to look better, so you're going to make those characters look amazing. The animations are going to be great, the graphics are going to be great. What about the gameplay? Is the gameplay going to be similar to what The Last of Us 2 offered, where there's more movement, you can go prone, you can do X, Y, and Z? It didn't look like that. So it's like, oh boy. And you're charging people $70. I was expecting Joel to move like Abby would move, to be like, you can jump, you can go prone, you can dodge, you do all this stuff. But it doesn't look like that's going to happen. And I'm a little bummed out, but the game's going to look great, and they're going to add different accessibility features for people who are impaired in certain ways. I still pre-order the game. I'm getting it. I paid for it. I got the deluxe edition. I really like that franchise. I like Naughty Dog. They haven't really let me down. They've never let me down. So I trust that company. I trust Sony. I'm going to get it. But this constant complaining, all these people are going to have live streams. When that game comes out, when they get access to it, they're going to be playing it. They're going to be making videos. They're going to do it. It's just what it is. The same thing people said about Captain Marvel. They're all going to be watching it. They're all going to be watching it. And some people are going to be watching it multiple times. They did the same thing. And that's all this is. So if I were you, I would just tune all that stuff out. If you don't want to watch it, you don't have to watch it. You can watch something else. You got the first movie. If you just want to live in that world, you can do that. But 9 times out of 10, all those people that are complaining, they're still going to see it because they don't want to be left out. Not with this. They don't want to be left out a lot. They're going to have FOMO. All those people that complained about not playing The Last of Us Part 2, that game sold 10 million copies. It broke records. So I think it's just bullshit. I think it's just bullshit to get clicks and likes and views, all that stuff. You look up this Last of Us Part 1 remake, $70. Like, well, don't pay for it. Buy something else. Play something else. There's plenty of games to play. But on September 2nd, that's all people are going to be talking about. People are going to be dropping these videos, and that's what they're going to be doing. November comes, I think November 11th or whenever it is when this Black Panther movie, Wakanda Forever, comes out. It's going to be great. Ryan Coogler has not let us down yet. How many movies? He did Fruitvale. He didn't direct the second. The second movie? He's another guy. And he went Coogler. What has he done? How many has he done? Creed was just director. Now I'm not gonna Fruitvale, Creed, and Black Panther, and Wakanda Forever. So Fruitvale and Creed, he has not let us down since 2013. And he's got some other film. It looks like a TV series called Scenes for Minors. Looks, I don't know what Wrong Answer is, but that's another project. But his name is attached to something. I'm going to see it. At this point, you know, when you just think about facts, it's just like he has not let us down. And he went big with Black Panther. He got that corporate gig and he delivered. What makes you think he's not going to do it again when the stakes are much higher and you got people crying? How long is this Wakanda Forever? You got people crying off about less than 3 minutes of footage. Let me see. It's a teaser. How long is this trailer? 2 minutes and 12 seconds. Grown men crying. I'm not judging them. But when you got grown black men talking about they crying over a trailer. Come on, man. Everybody going to see that. Everybody's seeing that movie. That has no. I think it's going to do well. I'm excited to see it. And I think it's going to be. I think it's going to be amazing. I echo, you know, Aaron's sentiments to that, where it's like this big corporate giant was like, okay, we slowing this down. We're going to mourn Chadwick and cinematically that's going to live on forever. And we're going to have they basically having a home going for a movie, for at least the first part of the movie. That's got to be act one. Has anybody ever done that in a theater? Now, this is me putting a lot on it, but I think like that's a home going. I don't think we've ever seen anything like this before. It's historic. We ain't never seen nothing like this before. Now I'm sounding all current. We ain't never seen nothing like this before. I think it's gonna be special, man. It's gonna be real special. So I'm excited. So shifting gears to the telly, to TV. Better Call Saul. I mean, I don't want to say it's better than Breaking Bad until it's done, but holy shit. I mean, spoilers if you haven't seen episode 10 yet? Episode, what is that? If you haven't seen the latest episode as I'm recording, the new one comes out tomorrow. I mean, I've waited for about 5 or 6 years to see this Gene episode, an all black and white episode, and they did not disappoint, man. I think that show is so good, and I know JL's head is going to explode, but I gotta wait till it's completely done to really call it better than Breaking Bad. But Better Call Saul doesn't exist without Breaking Bad, the greatness of Breaking Bad. Breaking Bad is arguably one of the best American dramas of the modern era, I would say. I just think what they're doing with Better Call Saul is they're building a universe off of the groundwork that they laid with Breaking Bad, and it's become its own entity. But we got to see if they stick the landing, and I don't think that they won't, you know what I mean? It feels like they will. They've been so meticulous about everything where it's just like, it's like when you do stand up and you try to have closers and you try to hit hard, like you almost want, when you really do a special, like you want everything to be like could be a closer to go really hard. And sometimes you start with your closer when you're working on stuff. And it's like, the last two or three episodes have been like finales. They've played out. They've played like finales. And yeah, it's really good. It's fun. Like, there's some holy shit moments last week. I was like, oh my God, really? Oh, the character stuff. Very rich. I love that show. I really wanted a Cinnabon after that latest episode. But there's no, I don't think there's any in the mall. I used to pass one in the city in Times Square on the way to the theater, but I just never went. It always smelled good. You know, like I wasn't a big fan in the mall. Like, Cinnabons are good. I've had them a couple of times, but I've told this story a bunch of times. My mom and I would take my mom when I was in college and I would visit, I would come home. My mom and I would go to Tyson's Corner. We'd get up early. We'd go to Tyson's Corner when it opened. She'd go look at the shoes. We'd walk around. Sometimes we'd split up. And then we'd meet and like we'd grab, I'd get some Mrs. Fields. She'd get a Cinnabon. Then we go to like this fabric store that she'd like going to. And then we'd like eat at Wendy's. And that was like fucking fun. You know, it was really, really chill times. And I remember like she would go to Cinnabon, you know, and I liked Cinnabon, but damn if I didn't want one Monday night when I was watching it. So good. Really good. I don't know if I've mentioned this on the show. Season 2 of Woke. They canceled the show. But my God, was that last season good. I would say watch that. It was really funny. I liked season 1. I thought it was good. But season 2 was really good. Really funny, making fun of stuff that, you know, that how we act on social media and all that. I really enjoy that. So that's on Hulu. I've been watching The Chi. I saw where some of my classmates from high school, one of them posted, it's not the same anymore. It's just, but I think it's all right. I just think when they shifted focus from the kids, they kind of lost something. And they're just trying to be a little more expansive. But those three kids, Emmett and his stuff, you know, it's fine. Excuse me. I like it. It's fun. And I got back into P-Valley. I binged a few episodes and, cause I was like, this is just getting too crazy. This is getting too, this show has nothing on Moonlight with the same sex coupling. I think the older I get, I'm a little more. I turn away from the screen on a lot of that, any kind of sex, whether it's heterosexual sex or gay sex, because it's just kind of like, is this progressing the story? Or maybe I've just become more prudish in my older age where it's just like, all right. And that's it's not just with the guys. It's with the girl on girl stuff. Well, not really the girl on girl, but it's with sex scenes in general. Cause it's just like, you could just watch porn for that. But I don't know. It is kind of like, oh, okay. They're doing that. All right. Let me just get up and go get some water, and I'll let you guys finish. You guys finish that, and let me know when you're trying to do some dialogue, and we'll progress the story. They are progressing the story, though. They are. But it has gotten better. I did, and there was an episode that was kind of like Cinderella, and it was a little about colorism. And it's like, I think people were arguing about that on social media like a couple of weeks ago. And I was looking at the girl that they were talking about. And I think the woman, one of the women had to say, hey, you know, I'm dark skinned and, you know, I did get a lot of, I was a victim of colorism when I was growing up. Like, people would talk shit about her, make fun of her. It's so it's almost like you, it's weird because like the girl is so beautiful. It's like, oh my God, this girl's gorgeous. What? I don't know, man. And I was talking about this with a friend, and I think it's because of where I'm from, and I'm not trying to act like I'm slowly learning that where I'm from is not like most places in America when you grow up being black. And what I mean is it's a different aspect from where it's like growing up in the Maryland, D.C. area. Like, you're around black people that are educated, that are smart. Some people are leaders. There are whatever type of occupation, whether you're at the sanitary place, there's a guy, black dude or black woman running something in areas in the government, or running a store, running a grocery store, managing a shop or whatever it is. It's black people that are in charge. And yes, there are black doctors, black lawyers. And it's just something that I was just kind of used to, whether it's like working class or upper class, blah, blah, blah. And so you just kind of judge people on who they are as a person. And not just, yeah, you have colorism. Oh, she light skinned, she this, that. You always going to have aspects of that. But it wasn't, I don't know if it was as pervasive, but it's just, I'm slowly coming to that. It's like, oh, this is, PG was different. And where it, and when you just think about women, when you think about women and people that I was attracted to, they were dark skinned girls. They were light skinned girls. They were just girls that looked good to me. They were girls that looked good, and they were different colors and different shapes, different sizes. Oh my God. And they were wearing those Catholic schoolgirl uniforms, and that was appropriate because I was their age. So I'm thinking back 20 years ago, and they were all wearing stuff like that because they had to. It was required. And some of them, when they broke the rules, they got sent home, or they had to pull their skirts down. What is that line in that was so funny? And I think Louis might have said something about it on what's the movie? What's the sexy guy movie? Magic Mike, where Matthew McConaughey is like, I see a lot of lawbreakers in here. There are a lot of lawbreaker young ladies that had their skirts too high, and I was not mad at it. But anyway, there are all different shapes, different shades of women that I was looking at. That I mean, I was an honor student, so it wasn't just look. Oh my God, I don't want to get canceled, but I would just say that I was just like, oh, what's wow, like, and you know, sometimes you have those stories where the girls are like, I was bullied, and I get that, but then it's like, these girls were beautiful. This girl's beautiful that played that character. Let me look it up. P-Valley. I'm rambling a lot. P-Valley. Did she play Mississippi or something like that? Let me see. I thought she was one of the main characters. Oh, man. I'm trying to look at... Oh, God. Yeah, no. I thought her name was like Mississippi or Keyshawn. I don't know. But anyway, she's the one that... Keyshawn, Shannon Thornton. Like, just looking at her, like, she's gorgeous. What are we talking about here? But I can see that. Let's see where she's from. If they even show. Shannon Thornton. I think she's the one that was married to the white guy. But whatever the episode that was dedicated. Yeah, Keyshawn, Miss Mississippi. And whatever her character, they showed like her origin story, basically. And it was really good. Because I was like, they're going too crazy on this. And then it kind of, because I was talking to a lady at work about it. I was like, yeah, I like it. You know, first season was dope. But it's like, it's just getting all crazy. And she's like, no, keep watching, keep watching. It gets better. So it's fun. I still rock with it. I think an episode just came out today on the app, so I'll probably watch that before the end of the day. That's what I've been watching. And I'm excited to see the new Gugu and Mbatha Raw show on Apple TV. There's like 3 episodes up now. Surface, where she plays this chick that loses her memory. The reviews seem like they're kind of mixed, but I watch Gugu in anything. I don't care. I mean, what are we talking about here? So, and I think Reese Witherspoon produced it. So, yeah, I'm watching that shit. I don't know. See, I'm at the point where it's just like, do I want to bank some episodes and just wait? Like, I'm doing that with Only Murders in the Building. So I think I might just wait till Only Murders is done for the season and just like, you know, and just binge it one like weekend night or something. We'll see. Yeah. So P-Valley's back to being fun and entertaining. I saw Nope again. I did like it, seeing in that big, the real deal IMAX. I also saw this movie called Vengeance on Friday. It's BJ Novak from The Office wrote and directed this. I'll read you the Google blurb. A journalist and podcaster travels from New York City to Texas to investigate the death of a woman whom he hooked up with. So this, I like this movie. I always thought it was interesting. Issa Rae is in it, and she plays Eloise, his boss, his producer boss. So it starts off, it kind of reminds me of a Neil LaBute type deal, where these two guys, I don't know if John Mayer is playing himself or just another guy, but it's BJ Novak's character Ben and him talking. And it's like they're just talking about women and the women they hook up with and not really giving them names. It's like Bumble, Jill Bumble, like some girl that he met at a party, Anna from the taco truck or something. He's just like, he doesn't put their name. That's how he puts their names in the phone, like just really being like a douchebag. And then he calls this girl. He's at this party and he's talking to his character. He's talking to Issa Rae's character, Eloise, his boss, about trying to do something, trying to write something big and trying to figure something out to take him to the next level. He writes for The New Yorker and he's trying to basically blow up and all that. And so then he goes home that night, hooks up with this woman who comes to his crib. And then he gets this call in the middle of the night from this guy saying, you know, your girlfriend's dead. And he's like, what? And then he's looking her up. And it's like this girl that he just hooked up with a few times has died. And he wants him to come to the funeral. He's like, I don't really know. But then he's like, yo, this could be, he's like, okay, this could be a story. He goes down there and it's funny because it's like, yeah, I just hooked up with this. He's trying to play this part where it's like, I hooked up with this girl, and then they make him speak at the funeral and he gets through it. And then he thinks he's just going to go home. And he's talking to her brother, and the brother's like, yo, we got to get, brother didn't say yo, but they're in Texas. He's like, we have to find out who killed her, and we need your help. And so he looks at it as an opportunity to have this podcast, you know, like this murder mystery podcast to make it blow up his profile and really be put on. He's working for a company that's kind of like NPR. Terry Gross is she guest as a, you don't see her, but she, that's Terry Gross's voice, where she's like, okay, like, you know, we can use an excerpt of your podcast if you submit to us, blah, blah, blah. And this guy's like got stardom on his mind. And he meets the denizens of these of this area in Texas, and the family's kind of eccentric and interesting, and there's a swerve, and things kind of go left towards the end. It's like, but if you think of the title, you're just like, oh shit, well that's why that it's titled that. It's a very interesting movie. I liked it. It's worth seeing. If you're looking for something to see and that's kind of funny and quirky, it is a good movie. I gave it 3.5 stars on Letterboxd. I did like it. I recommend it. I think it's very good. Like, this is the first time I've seen BJ Novak in anything. Somebody was telling me like he's kind of he is unlikable. His character is unlikable because he's talking about women like a fucking douchebag. But you know, it is what it is. It's good. Yeah, I don't want to say too much about it, but there's some obvious swerves that you'll see as you watch it. But I do recommend it. Let's see. I'll give you some Muzak reviews or just recommend it. The Beyonce's great. I listened to that like at 5:30 in the morning as I was going to work. It jams. It's a lot of good records on there. Beyonce's, it seems like she's at the top of her game. And I'm not a big pop aficionado, but the songs sound good. And people are going to be jamming on those. There's some controversy with Pharrell and taking some excerpts of Milkshake, I believe, from Khalees, and Khalees was talking about it on Instagram. It made me realize like, oh, I should follow Khalees because she's really talented. I think she's kind of stepped away from music, but she had some good records. She has some good albums. And I think maybe she might've been taking it. I don't know. But like Q-Tip said, record company people are shady, and she probably did get jerked out of like some money from like writing credits from some of her stuff. I would not put it past anybody, even though Pharrell is, really talented and seems like a nice guy. I don't know. There was trouble with that Marvin Gaye's family and the Blurred Lines record from, what is it? What's the guy's name? Paula Patton's ex. Better to look up Paula Patton and, what's the blur? Robin Thicke. Yeah. So there was drama with that. So you, shit, you never know, man. I tend to lean on the side of Khalees was probably right. But that's not the first time that something like that has happened. But sonically, the Beyonce album is terrific. This Renaissance album is good. She's singing's great. It's a dope album. Also the new Joey Badass, his new album 2000, which a lot of people are saying is a direct follow up to his 1999 project. I don't think I think 1999 was a mixtape at first, from what I know. Let me see what the Wikipedia says. It's not, Wiki may not always be right, but like, yeah, 1999 was a mixtape that came out in 2012 before The Money came out in 2015. All American Badass was 2017. So yeah. So Joey Badass is fantastic. That's why it's hard for me, and maybe we can have this R&B discussion later, but I don't think R&B is dead. There's guys out there that do great stuff. I mean, it seems like it's more adult contemporary in that regard with like Eric Roberson, the Foreign Exchange, and some other new guys are kind of holding that mantle, keeping it going. But those are like OGs. Those are guys that are like a little older than me and that grew up around the same time that I did. That are doing great shit. And shout out to the Foreign Exchange because that list came out with the music that Barack Obama's listening to, and that record with Eric Roberson, Better, is out from, what's that album? Love and Flying Colors. Anyway, Joey Badass is a throwback in all of the good ways. His swagger, his style reminds me of Mos Def in a good way. It's not like he's trying to be him, but just like the flow, the aura. But he's carving his own way, obviously. But he's just like that 90s. I got lyrics, man, and I'm spitting, and I'm rapping my ass off, and you are not better than me. So he's a throwback in all the good ways, and he's been dope since he first came out. So it's just like, okay, like, you know, so he's terrific, and he's acting too, and that's another thing. Like, Mos Def was, like, you know, obviously a very good actor, and I really think that Joey's doing great in Power. Book two, Raising Kanan. He's terrific in that. So I enjoy this guy. I really like his music. And that just goes to show you, he's 27 and he's not doing he's about them lyrics, young. So that's always good to find. It's not all bad. Like, music is your preference, but it's good to see a younger person picking up the mantle of the guys that came before him and trying to improve on the design and just do his own thing and carve out his own lane. And I think he's terrific. So I really think, because somebody, he did say in one of the early records, he was talking about how it's him, J. Cole, and Kendrick are the best. And the people are like, he named Kendrick and J. Cole as like the best in himself. I was like, well, is he lying? You know what I mean? Because I look at a guy like Sky Zoo, he's kind of like, he's like maybe 3 to 4 years younger than me. I kind of consider him to be in my era. He's like, yeah, he's like a little younger than me. So I think Sky Zoo is kind of like old, and Sky Zoo's kind of like an old OG. And Sky Zoo's great. His last album was the best, to me, the best thing he's ever done. You know, just goes to show you, like, with his evolution. But as far as hip hop is concerned, you know, you got Kendrick's album, to me, is terrific. Lupe's album is terrific. And this Joey Badass album is great. So I think those are the three best that I've heard. You know, I like the West Side Gun. I think he's dope. You know, those Griselda guys are great. But just like, right now, off the rip, it's just Kendrick and Joey and Lupe, to me, are the best that I've heard, and really, from my money. So, folks, that's it for this week. I just wanted to just talk to you all, and thank you so much for listening. It's always been a joy to talk to you, and I appreciate you listening, and I will talk to you next time. Take it easy, everybody.